This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
This is KJ Live. With Chris Johnson. And Chris is having conversations with influencers in the sports world and entertainment industry. Now here's Chris Johnson.
You are now tuned in to KJ Live. I'm your host, Chris Johnson. Today, the anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, we have a very special guest in the building. The founder, director, and regarded as one of the most influential men in the history of grassroots basketball. Atop Udu-Ema is in the building. Atop, what's good, man?
What up, what up, what up?
Man,
I don't know. I love the introduction. I don't know if it's all that, but.
Well, I mean, sometimes you got to keep it real. I heard you, when I listen to you talk, I hear you talk a lot about flowers and giving people flowers, and you need to be introduced the right way at some point. It's kind of like how we, as we've gone older, we think about, you know, the accomplishments of ball players that we've, you know, watched and been a part of. And it doesn't hit you right away how good them dudes were until kind of like later on down the road. It's kind of like you, man. You start looking at your track record, brother. All these guys that you done sent to college, and now you're making major headway into the league. But first, Atop, I want to just get a quick thought on one of the game's most dominant players that we've ever seen. Wilt Chamberlain, 100 points in a game, 7-1, a triple jumper, a high jumper. Do you think Wilt would have dominated today's game?
You know, it's really hard to answer that with the way the spacing is in the NBA now. And that'd be my, I mean, obviously at his size, I mean, he might've figured that out. But it's hard to translate it with the spacing. He would have been good, obviously, but obviously the spacing and driving and the way the game is and being able to shoot the three, you know, all those things kind of in today's game are a little more important than they were back then. So do I think he'd been as dominant? Probably. I don't know how it would have looked, though.
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. But so I had the same sort of questions, Tope. And I self-admittedly hadn't gone back and watched a ton of Wilt footage from his early years at Kansas and then with the Globetrotters and then like his first couple of seasons in the league. And what stood out about the guy, man, I mean, he was 7-1 and he was leading the break. I saw him do a no-look, a turnaround jumper. I saw him do a Magic Johnson jump in the air, fake pass. So I'm seeing all this stuff and I'm just kind of like, I saw him do like step through up and under. I saw him. And then they showing me the videos man, all his game was bank shots. Like, he had one of the sickest bank shots in the history of basketball. Before the sky hook, it was the Wilt, like, fadeaway, funny style fadeaway, but
He's wearing Chuck Taylors, bro.
Hey, with no grip.
I wonder if he taped his ankles.
With no grip. Yeah. Okay, with the thing flipping on. I mean, come on, man. Hey, but listen, when we talk about big men and we talk about the evolution of big men, we got to talk about Evan Mobley. And this is a kid that was in your program since day one. Talk about Evan as the front runner for the Rookie of the Year, his development, and what he can be, if that makes any sense at all. What he can be. He's already something, but what he can be as far as his upside and potential, total.
So, you know, I had plenty of arguments early on with people about what I thought he looked like moving forward. People didn't see it.
I remember.
Felt that he was too soft. People felt too skinny. People thought, I mean, just whatever you come up with to, you know, argue the case that he wasn't going to be as good as we thought he was going to be. As soon as he hit the end of his freshman year, hitting his sophomore year, I knew exactly what it was, and I started putting the word out, started telling everybody, all the writers, the Paul Biancardis, the Bossies, you know, they didn't, I mean, we saw it because at the time, you know, remember, he had that huge growth spurt. He was short. Well, not short, but.
Eighth grade,
6'4". And I don't remember, I don't remember if you remember a kid named Ben Todd. We had Ben Todd on our team and Evan. Now, Ben Todd was already 6'10 in the eighth grade, and he was the number one player in the country. And Evan was about 6'4", and nobody knew who Evan was. But, you know, it's crazy on how, like, he got hurt his freshman year, hurt his foot. And after that, though, we start seeing some things. And the first thing that I really noticed, he always was a shooter. So right now, the NBA hasn't seen what he used to do, and they will eventually, because that'll come back to him. But, you know, he started off as he was a great jump shooter. He's a 3-point shooter in eighth grade. That's what he did. He shot shots and then grew and became explosive. That's when you see all the things that he's had going on now, because that explosion, that one of the beauties of what he was doing that made it easy for me to evaluate was the quickness of his jump. And when I saw that as a sophomore, his first and second jump, I thought of Sean Marion, but he's 7 feet.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Marion was lethal with his second jump, one of the quickest second jumpers in the NBA. And you jump like that, no matter what your size, no matter what it is, you're going to have some value in the league. And he just jumped so quick. So he started getting to the rim. I see how fast he get to the rim. And I was like, whoa. It would just be like, boom, boom, boom. You know, his quick twitch was crazy. Quick.
Yeah.
And so oh man, this is a problem. I got the number one player in the country. You know what I mean? Because I knew, like, he had got the size before. He was already a great shooter. He already had great perimeter acumen. You know what I mean? Even though he didn't have to use it, because like when he got big, he stopped using it. So you know what happened? He got big, and his junior year playing for us, he shot in the Adidas League. He shot 80% from the floor
in the gauntlet.
Dunked everything. Like they couldn't do it. He shot 9 a game and averaged 18 on 9 shots a game. Jeez. So I mean, it was crazy, but it was because no one could stop him to the rim. So he stopped doing his perimeter stuff. All he did was catch and make plays around the rim because it was that easy for him.
What do you attribute most to his growth and development as far as an all-around game?
Oh, I'll tell you, simple. It's his dad and mom, because what they used to do with him is, like, you know, his dad wouldn't just have him doing cone stuff. You know how these cone guys, his dad would have him playing against grown ass men in 24-hour fitness.
Yeah, that's the best.
Both him and his brother. That's why you see their IQs are high. They know how to play, because, like, you know, their development wasn't all just, you know, jump in there and play, do cones. Like, they had a whole well-rounded regimen, and they lived that regiment 7 days a week. They weren't wavering. Like, they weren't doing it just for, like, show.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're really out here. believing. Once they got to a point, they were out here believing where they were going. And, you know, the kids love to hoop. They both love to hoop. That's another thing, too. Some people don't like, they love to hoop. And just because Evan don't talk, Evan loves to hoop. That's what makes this scary, because he loves to hoop. And Regiment, by the time he gets done, I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, it could be a KG, Giannis, KD mix. You know what I mean? I don't know what.
Yeah, his game.
It could be anything, because he's got the discipline to work, and he loves the hoop.
Man, the KD, the Giannis comparison, the KG hybrid, that's a scary animal. So we're in Vegas I was in Vegas for the Summer League, and I got a chance to watch Evan compete. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's where I saw you. I was trying to figure out, was that the time? But so we were there, and we saw Evan. I watched him. I think what my takeaway was him on the defensive end, his ability to guard, show. I mean, he could pretty much do anything on perimeters and bigs.
Yeah, he can switch 1v5.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And his ability to close out on shooters and then recover to the rim, make a play on the ball. As we've seen in the league, I don't know if it's a surprise. Are you surprised at all by how well he's done so quickly, how quickly he's adjusted, or did you kind of figure that it wouldn't be a problem?
The funny thing is this. I didn't know until Summer League. So when I went to Summer League and I saw the way Cleveland was utilizing him, kudos to Bickerstaff and that coaching staff, they were already using – I don't know if you remember. They were already using him like they use him now. They were using him on the elbows, on the perimeter, initiating offense. They were doing a lot of shit with him.
Yes.
In the Summer League. And I was like, ooh, if they play him like this, oh, he's about to, because just think about, like, if he could have went somewhere else and the coach would have not really believed in him, stuck him on the box, it might have not been like this. You know what I mean? It might have been as fast as this. You know what I mean?
But confidence, the confidence to develop.
No, but what I will tell you is this. This is the one thing that everybody underestimated in college. So I don't know if you saw that early in the season, they started charting that stat about shots that he altered, but he didn't block or something or whatever that I don't forgot. But remember, like, Evan doesn't, he's just out there hooping and balling. Like, defensively, he's really good. Most guys in the NBA, they're not going to, you know, rush to shooters or do the things that he's doing to play defensively. The reason Cleveland's had a great turnaround too, obviously Darius Garland's been unbelievable. Some of the other kids have done really well, but I think, like, with Jared Allen and Evan, defensively, they've posed a lot of problems. People have a hard time. That's so much length. You know what I mean? And Evan's not just trying to block shots. He's going after everything. Even if you're around the perimeter, he's chasing you. You know, he's chasing everything. So he don't know no better yet. Like these other dudes who just sit around and don't play. Like, he's playing. He's trying to chase shooters. He's switching. He's doing all the things that, you know, most guys in the league don't do. Now, all of a sudden, your team is good.
Yeah, and I've seen Cleveland go big at times where they throw Markkanen out there, and so you have Allen, Mobley, Markkanen, 3 7-footers on the perimeter or guarding everybody, covering ground, covering space. Man, I mean, it's true. I expect Evan, I think he'll be in contention for a defensive player of the year at some point. I mean, obviously this year, I feel like he's the front runner for the rookie of the year. We got to see how that vote turns out. But I wanted to talk about another big that came through your program that is actually playing well in the league. Kind of, I wouldn't say going under the radar, but nationally kind of flying under the radar, in my opinion, Tope Onyeka down in Atlanta. Talk about Onyeka, man, and what he's been doing.
So funny, man. So I was in Austin. I was in Austin yesterday, and he FaceTimes me at 1 a.m, right? And I'm like, he doing? Because I think they're playing Boston, you know what I mean? So I'm like, what's he doing? And, you know, obviously he's been playing well, man. Some people, you know, I think he gets snubbed for that Rising Stars game. I think he should have been in it. A lot of people were saying that. I think he should have been in that game. But that's been his mantra. We ain't tripping. Like, we're going to follow his journey. And you know, with him, I'm very involved in his life, obviously. But he called me at 1:30 in the morning with some grown man talk, man, talking about, like, real estate. And I'm like, you know, like, this kid's like, I think he's 20 years old. He might be 21. But, you know, I'm very, very proud of his evolution and his growth on and off the court. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, unfortunately, his father passed away recently, you know, And, you know, it's just with those kind of things, you know, kids are up and down, but he is in a very, very comfortable place in on the floor.
In his role on the team?
Very comfortable place. Like, so I don't know if you see, like, his numbers, like, whenever, depending on his minutes are up, his numbers are up. Like, they're like, the other night he was 17, 7, and 3, you know, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. Mm-hmm. And one thing I always, like, I talked to him that night. I'm like, hey, man, you got to rebound better. I told him, I said, you got to rebound better. Because, you know, obviously he's got Capella on that team. Capella rebounds everything. He goes, yeah, Capella rebounds in the paint. I said, yeah, but he goes, yeah, Tope. He goes, but I'm running all over the place. I'm switching 1-5. I'm switching screens. I'm playing D. I'm playing crazy D. He goes, half the time I can't get to the rebound. So, but I'm always on him about rebounds because I said, look, man, I said, that rebound stat for you is a moneymaker. Like, that's the one that, like, is going to really you is when you try to re-up from this next, you know, in year 4, when you're trying to get this contract, you know what I mean? So we talk about it, and he's in a really good place, man. He's comfortable. He knows who he is. He knows what he's doing. Obviously we want to expand on that, and we will in the summertime. But he's in a very, very, very good place.
Yes, he is. And you said it best as far as his comfort in his role. When I've watched the Hawks play and I've watched him in the game, I mean, he strikes me as sort of he has a veteran type demeanor out there. And I think that speaks to him embracing his role.
You know what else? We may add this in. Again, it's just like Evan, him and Evan both. Like, they're out there and they're both playing defense. Yeah. Like defense, like, he knows that that's his calling card there. So, like, he takes pride in that. Like, he wants, like, everyone to think of him like, you know what, okay, that's a defensive guy. So he takes pride in D. And, like, you know, he'll tell you sometimes, Tope, I'm tired, man. Like, even in my little minutes that I'm playing, I'm tired because I'm running around like crazy. You know what I mean? So he's really pushing himself defensively, which I don't believe a lot of guys in the NBA do. I feel Evan does the same. I feel they both do the same. And that's a good uniqueness about those two young players that are going to really give them a chance moving forward because their offensive games will evolve as well. You know what I mean?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You guys at Compton Magic do things or have like emphasis on defense, or do you bring in people to kind of show pros or anything like that when you work with bigs while they're in your program? Or is it something, because I've noticed if you look at, you know, some of your top guys, right, that are either in the NBA or college.
Can I throw two names out there in college?
I was about to, but go ahead.
Perry and Jalen Clark.
That's the two I was going to talk about, because you're talking about two, arguably two of the most underrated players in America, and two of like the most impactful players in all of the country. Talking about Jalen Clark for a second, when he came in UCLA, the expectations of him were still kind of in the air. People didn't really realize the full spectrum, the full scope of what this kid has to offer. Now we get to see it. I want to know about his mentality. Why is he such a dog, dude?
He's a dog and always has been, bro.
Has he?
They're about J-Rock, bro. I ride with J-Rock.
Oh, like, man. Listen,
look, man. I had to tell Mick Cronin. I told Mick, I said, Mick, this guy is your type of guy. Trust me. When they were recruiting him, kind of, it was up in the air. They weren't so sure. Because remember, you know, they didn't sign him until late in senior year.
Facts.
But I was pressing him the whole time. Like, Jalen and you are a match made in heaven. He's a Cincinnati guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati guy. So, you know, finally they did their homework and research and it worked out. And I'll tell you this, man. And I was in Arizona 2 weeks ago with Dalen. Me and Dalen were having dinner. Me, Dalen, Ray Arvisu, and his brother Andy were at dinner. And I was talking about how it's crazy because on that team, they played together, remember? So I don't know if you know, but that year, Evan got hurt at USA Basketball.
What, wrist? Was it his wrist?
It was his back. Evan didn't play in that summer. Didn't play at all in the summer. So our team, we were without Evan Mobley and without Johnny Juzang. So our headliners were Dalen Terry, Jalen Clark, Chibuzo Agbo, who's at Texas Tech. And we had to move a bunch of the young kids up. We moved up Dylan Andrews up. He's a ninth grader. We moved Dylan on UCLA, obviously. So my point in telling you that team early, when Evan played in the spring, I think we were 22-1. We only lost one game that spring. So we were on track of being the best team in the country again. Remember the year before was the undisputed year with Onyeka and Jared Lucas and everybody else. Mm-hmm. We still had – we had most of those players back. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of them back. We had Evan – we had Dalen, we had Clark, because Clark was in that team too. Those guys were all back. Juzang, he was back. Those guys were all coming back. So we expected to have the similar type of year. Evan goes down. Johnny reclasses, goes to Kentucky. So we have what we have. Now, people don't understand. We had an unbelievable run that summer with those kids. Like, we only lost one. No, we lost two games that summer. We lost in the Elite Eight to Team Loaded in Virginia and in Birmingham, and then we lost to Southern Assault in the championship with Harrison Ingram. We lost to them in the championship by 1 point. We had the ball with 10 seconds to go. Chibuzo lost his shoe. All he had to do is get fouled or make the shot. We should have won that. But what my point is this: we were one bad possession away from winning it again.
Back to back.
With back to back, without Evan and without Johnny, because they're both. I was talking to Dalen about that, because that shows to you how good those two really were. Mm-hmm. So listen, we go to the championship, we lose the championship by one, then we go to Dino's tournament that has all the Nike teams, Expressions and Rotary, and we win that. We blow everybody out in that tournament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We won that tournament. We blew everybody out. Like we played one team. I'm not going to say I don't want to embarrass them, but that had two guys that are in the NBA right now, one who's a lottery pick. We won by 30 that game.
Okay.
Like that's how Jalen Clark and we only had seven players.
I had a whip.
Jalen Clark and this shows how good those two really were. And that's what we're talking
about. Like, I can't imagine.
I mean, like, they were playing against the best guys in the country, and they were supposed role guys or whatever else, but they were smacking everybody.
Yeah, but it's that style too. Those dudes, they have size. They play a certain type of game too, as far as they go hard. When you have energy and motor, and then to couple that with athleticism, length, IQ, I mean, that's like, man, you stand out. I mean, the thing that stands out to me about Jalen also is when I'm seeing him up. So during the course of a game, the UCLA basketball game, you'll see him work down low. You'll see him work mid post. You'll see him knock down a three or two. You'll see him running the pick and roll up high. I don't know if I've ever seen. I tried to say, you know, I know I was pretty versatile, but the pick and roll up high part where he's bringing the ball up full court, initiating the offense during the course of a game. That's unbelievable. I mean, he does literally everything. And then defensively, Tope, you see him out there guarding the point. He'll pin some stuff on the glass. He's been really an exciting revelation for UCLA basketball. And as a Compton Magic dude, do you feel like your guys that played for Compton Magic, you feel like they play with a sort of a sense of pride or an extra bit of a chip that they represent where they come from, Compton Magic?
I think so. And I really think that all the guys we're talking about at some point in their career were undervalued. And that's the thing. Like, I'm telling you, even Evan was undervalued. Mm-hmm. I'm being honest with you. Onyeka was undervalued. Those guys I know are blue chip players in high school. But remember when they first came to us, and I was at the SC game last night. And before the game, me and Nicole Mobley were talking about this. Me and Nicole Mobley were talking about how when the kids were young, when they're in the eighth, ninth grade, they were nobodies. All of them, like none of them. Remember, I'm going to tell you who the guys were when those guys were coming up. Cassius Stanley, Cody Riley. Those were the top ranked kids. They were number one. You know, those are the blue chippers. You know what I mean? Our kids were the second group of kids. So it's like they've all been in a place of being severely undervalued at some point. And I think that's a good driver. You know what I mean?
Back.
And I think that, I mean, again, and remember too, you know, we have a lot of connective tissue on social media. So our kids motivate each other. Like all those kids, like they're watching what everyone's doing and everybody loves each other. But it's, even though they love each other, you know, he's doing this, I'm trying to do this. Like, you know, even when I was at Arizona State to see them play UCLA, and I ran into Neil at a breakfast spot, and Dalen had just played well. And they were talking about how he's the ultimate glue guy in the country. And I was telling Neil before Jalen exploded, I was like, look, Neil, like this is like Dalen's laying a blueprint for us too. Like Jalen's going to get to the NBA the same way. Now, maybe, I mean, like the same way he's going to get there. Like he can do the same thing that Dalen's doing. Dalen's made it sexy to not have to score. It's crazy.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. The NBA guys love Dalen. They love him.
I know that.
Run, like, it's going to get interesting.
Who do they compare him to, or who do they give you kind of a comp when they talk about Dalen to you? Who do they comp him to?
Don't do to them. They don't even have that yet. Like they're just trying to figure. They just go like, where is this? He's came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And I think it's kind of like, for me, could it be Rondé Hollis-Jefferson? But I mean, it's not to, I don't think so, because I know Rondé too. And I know Dalen, because Dalen had, listen, remember we played Dalen at the point. Dalen's a point guard. They don't play point. He played point for us, strictly point, like nothing else. Like they play him on, they play him kind of just as a all over guy,
a rover. Yeah. What,
but like Dalen's best trait, he's a great passer. Mm-hmm. He's all in his hands. Mm-hmm. Great high IQ, you know. So I think, and I think they show enough of that to where people can see that a little bit. But that's really his strength. Like his strength is, you know, with the ball in his hands, seeing people, finding people, and obviously being all those great glue traits, being a great teammate, being a great kid, his length. And now the thing that I think has really intrigued people is he's become more explosive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's exciting. These kids, man, both those kids, I get so excited about both of those kids because I feel like I saw that coming.
Yeah.
I didn't see Dalen's coming as soon. And Jalen's coming in soon. I knew Jalen's would come when all these dudes left UCLA. I thought next year Jalen would just go crazy because he'd have the roadway with the other guys gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a longer leash. But, you know, as glad that Mick saw the light, you know what I'm saying, quick and early. And now he's getting super burned. But you still got – I mean, there's Isaiah Mobley at SC, who's one of the, you know, best all-around talents in all of college basketball. Timmy Allen down at Texas. Ju Zhang. Obviously at UCLA. So, I mean, do you feel like with so many guys in college that eventually make the league, do you feel like people view you and you guys sort of have a bullseye now on your chest that you might have not had before the summer of 2018? Is it the same?
Remember, I'm going to go back. So 2010, we had Jahi Carson, Gabe York, Isaiah Austin, Norvell Pell, Wesley Saunders, Askia Booker, Mike Caffey, and our team was the best team. Well, there's two teams. It was us and the Oakland Soldiers. So everyone wanted to see that game because they had Nick Johnson. They had, I can't remember the kids they had, but they had Aaron Gordon. I want to say Aaron Gordon at the time, but they had a whip too. Like, so they had like six or seven. We had our group. They had their group. And, you know, obviously we were dominating at Adidas. They were dominating at Nike. And we were tagged back then. I mean, like we were, because remember, we're coming off. We had that year, the year before we had Alan Crabb and Bryce Jones, Richard Solomon. The year before we had Joe Burton, Xavier Thames. So that 2008 year cemented, we made the championship that year. We went triple overtime against Grassroots Canada with Tristan Thompson, Brady Heslip, Dwight Powell. So we, that year in 2008, when we made the championship and that game went to triple overtime, that was the point where I feel like we became marked. Then 2009, Crabb, Kareem Jamar, Deontay Burton. Like, we had three conference players of the year on that team. You know what I mean? The WAC player of the year, the Big Sky player of the year, and the Pac-12 player of the year.
And you had three. I saw somewhere you had three of the top leading scorers in the Pac-10 one year. Roberto, Jahi, and one more player. You had like one, two, and three were all conference.
And like, we were already having like
holding it down.
We were holding it down as like the underdog cute team. You know, we were kind of still the underdog, but we
had dudes putting in work.
Yeah, we had great players though. We were owning the Pac-12. We had the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year, Pac-12 Player of the Year. You know, we were doing some noise in the Pac-12 back then with some of our guys. But you know, I would say back to your original question with the way our guys go back to that question again, so I can.
Yeah, no, it was just like, I mean, you feel like people coming at you guys more now or less, or are you indifferent? Were they coming at you with the same ferocity as they were now?
No, crazy, because now we have social media. Back then there wasn't as much social media, so now it's like
yeah.
Talk crazy social media, but the reality of it is, Chris, we got a formula, man. Like, the people, it ain't just me. It's like I got people in my group, like, that they all have their own context too, and everyone is really working their ass off for kids. So you'll see me like last night I was at senior night with Timmy Allen, you know what I mean? Like, and then not last night, night before last, and then last night I'd fly back home. I go straight to the game with Dalen and Isaiah. But my point to you is that there's things that we're doing functionally behind closed doors that I feel helps our kids once they get to college. See, I think a lot of guys in AAU, they play games. They go and listen, I'm never going to fault anyone for helping kids. You know what I mean? Anyone who's helping kids, I'm with that. Like, I mean, there's different levels of helping kids, right?
Right.
Anyone helping kids, I'm great with that. Like, whether you're a lower level team, a high level team, whatever it is. But like, I think the one thing that really, really separates what we are compared to most, I'm not going to say all, I'm going to say most, is that as soon as the ball stops for them in high school, we're just as involved in their transition in college as they are in high school. And that's why you see a lot of our kids are successful.
How so? Talk about how you're involved, how you get involved with your guys after they're done hooping.
So it's like this. So imagine me. So if I'm at Texas, and how many times have I been to Timmy's game this year? I don't know. I was at Texas Gonzaga. I was at Texas Tech. I've been to Austin at least three or four times. But obviously when you're doing that, when you're going to shoot around, when you're at team meal, you're developing relationships with those coaching staffs organically. So like, at that point, are they rooting for you? Yeah, probably. You know what I mean? When that coach, like at the end of the day, like if all things are given equal, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? So is your kid going to get a little more rope? Probably. Yeah. You know, but it was all those relationship building exercises that are going on, however they're going on, whether it's on my dime, however it's happening, or whether it's due to my experience, because I've been around forever and known these dudes forever and they feel comfortable. You know what I mean? But that experience, those level of relationships definitely helps the kids when they go to those coaches. Like, I've known Mick Cronin since Remember, Mick Cronin coached Ellis Miles at Louisville in 2003. Me and Mick ain't the first row. I've known Mick forever.
No, that's you bring up a good point about relationships, cultivating relationships. And then when you say on your own dime, and a lot of people don't realize that a lot of what you accomplish in basketball is a lot of it's based on your own dime. Like, you got to go out and get it. Like, you look at some of the top scouts in the world, they are paying for trips to Lithuania. They're paying their own way to Russia to go see some guys that they can write up about, you know, put out there on their own dime. So that part of it, I feel like is, you know, to be commended. I also noticed and see a lot of activity that you do in the community and on social media. And why is that such an important cause for you? Because that seems to be one of your true passions outside of basketball, right? Am I right on that? Or
my main passion, probably more than basketball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just, you know what, man, as you get older, like, I felt like, I think when I got my mid-40s, I'm 52 now. When I got my mid-40s, I felt like we had done pretty good in basketball. I felt like we were close to being like, you know, hey, we've done a good job with kids, and we had our machine is rolling. Yeah. And I really felt like, you know, how much, like, when I die, like, how are people going to remember me? Like, what, you know how it is, man. Like people have been dying. Like, a lot of people in my life have been dying. And it's kind of like, you go to the funeral, you know, you cry, you know, and then, shit, people just move on, you know? And it's kind of like, I'm not saying that I want people to lastly remember me, but I want to have something that people say, you know, shit, man, that dude made a difference. And I feel like that's really hard to do. I feel like having people feel like that is really hard to do. Like, I feel like you have to do a lot of work for someone to say, like, that guy was impactful.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's my drive behind the community work, is my personal legacy, you know, even though it's obviously it's coupled with Count the Magic, and it's coupled with hopefully my kids are successful enough for me to have a bigger voice, right? Or for me to be able to attach more resources somewhere. It's a means to an end, right? So it's like, can I hopefully attach these resources and do more work in the community outside of basketball? Like, there's so many things that I'm trying to do, obviously, that I can't afford to do at this point, but I'm working on it. To promote that legacy and create that legacy, man. It's just, and it's an ongoing war. I call it a war, because it's like, you know, the war is to get people in places that me nor you usually can get to invest in our communities. Mm-hmm. They have, you know what I mean? So listen, community work doesn't necessarily mean you need money, because we do a lot of community projects that don't call for funding. You know, there's things you can do that can help your community without funding. Like, we've done diaper drives where we just put on social media, like, hey, like, can you donate diapers? And we did like 50,000 diapers.
Yeah.
A community organization in Compton. But we've done all kind of unique book drives, unique things that didn't cost much money. Mm-hmm. But they still, like, you know, the goal would be, I feel, to get a nice bag of resources to be able to cultivate your legacy play in the community, you know. And that's obviously an ongoing battle for anybody trying to do community work. And
yeah. But I've seen you, you had the Adidas legacy situation a few years ago. I've seen you do food drives.
Still going.
Yeah. I'm still going. I've seen you do different food drives around the holidays, and I don't know if it was a turkey giveaway, you're giving away clothes, you're giving away all type of stuff, and you're passing out stuff. But the thing I love about it, you get all your kids involved. All the guys in the Compton Magic get an idea and a sense of perspective of what it's like not to have. You're now balancing this life of glorious AAU high-level hoops with a dose of reality on occasion. Why do you feel like that's important to expose the kids to, Tope?
Well, I want to show you something. I hope you can see this. I don't know if it'll work if I do this.
You just show it to the screen. We can probably see it.
Happy to be home, happy to be with y'all, and, you know, helping out the Salvation Army. I am a kid from Compton, born and raised. I grew up in poverty.
That's on Yekka. See on Yekka?
Yep.
When he's a baby?
Yep.
That's on Yekka, baby. Look at Isaiah. Look at young Isaiah.
Yep. On the screen, we have a video of some community work Atope and Compton Managed did.
Look, young Evan, ninth grade.
Compton, Salvation Army.
Early
That's in Compton.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. No, that's good stuff, Tope.
Look at Johnny the Brave. Johnny the Brave.
That's good stuff. No, absolutely.
Our kids have been there. Like, it's not like we're just talking it. Like, that's a video when those kids were young. Those kids were like in the eighth, ninth grade back then. And their families were there. They were there. And I think even regardless, like nowadays, I feel like most of our kids aren't in those type of situations. They're just not, right? So it's really important that they see it. My initial Compton kids were all in that situation. When I was first in Compton High, everybody was in that situation. And then obviously, as we've graduated to the more current times, I feel like most people are in a little bit better situations than we have. But still, it's very important that you remind them of how fortunate they are, whatever level of fortunate they are, you know?
Heck yeah, always.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hope, you've been in the game a long time, my man, and you're responsible for sending a lot of kids to college. You've been dealing with these coaches in the recruiting side of things since the 90s and probably earlier than that, actually. I don't want to date you, but what do you think about – let me ask you this. Do you think that the NIL, the transfer portal, and the ability to reclassify is good for the game, or it is hurting the game? College basketball?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, obviously, the pandemic has changed the landscape immensely because obviously teams want to be older, you know, and it's funny because I watched Texas Baylor the other night, and Baylor won a national championship last year, replaced their backcourt with Akinjo and the other kid who
– Sochan? Sochan, the green hair?
Well, him too, and there's another backcourt kid who came from a smaller school who's really 19 that game, but completely replaced their backcourt and are capable of having a run again.
Absolutely.
Now, can you do that with high school players? They got Keontae George coming in, possibly, but probably the answer is, I don't know. You know, so that portal has made a lot of the bigger schools and the schools that would normally recruit a top-level high school player or even get a high school player late. Like, those high school players have no opportunities at the end. Like, you're going to see prep schools blossom. You're going to see all that happen because dudes want to be older.
So basically, the high school kid, the super, the senior, the five-star senior is looked at a little bit less favorably than, say, an older kid that has some college basketball experience or a prep school kid that is a little bit older, 19, and has a year again on the prep circuit. Why those kids? Why is that better?
I don't think it's affected the elite, the super elite kid. I think it's affected the kid a level below that, right? The super elite kid from 1 to 20, I think, is still fine.
They're going
to
go where they go, go. Okay.
Guys are going to do that. But when it gets to the level below that, it gets dicey because who are you going to pick from? A portal guy who's averaged 20 and been through it at the college level, or a high school guy who's questionable in his transition? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go with the older guy, you know? And that before, like, JUCO guys, you know, obviously aren't as sexy. Portal guys are, when you can transfer and be eligible right away, like, you can really watch a guy's better work at whatever school he was. You see a lot of these lower level guys at lower Division I schools that are transferring up and having huge success because they're fucking good players. You know what I mean? Good players all over the place. And they probably are better than some of the players you recruited that you just didn't see it. You know, there's so many of them. Like, I'm going to use a kid, for example, like, he's going to go to New Mexico. His name is Donovan Dent. And Donovan Dent plays for Corona Centennial. And Donovan Dent is a bad dude. Like, he's going to go to New Mexico and impact right away. Like, he's going to be on the floor right away. And people are going to say, well, who the hell is that? And that happens, you know?
But how do you discern the right fit? I mean, as the director, when you got your guys that are getting recruited, how do you sit down with them guys and what does the conversation go like when you're talking about fit in a particular school, coaching style, et cetera?
So, you know, for me, it depends on your level of talent. But my sell pitch, like, I had a meeting with one of the better parents who's a kind of a freshman on Sunday night, and I'm recruiting him. I had the little computer, I was talking to him. And, you know, I said, listen, for me, like, as I'm recruiting a kid, I'm like, hey, you know, like, I feel like he has a chance to be one of the pillars of our program. And the pillars of our program have all been getting drafted. I mean, you know, I mean, like, that's how me having this conversation with you lets you know that you're different, because I feel you're different. And my speech to him was like, listen, it's like, we have a group of kids and we're trying to get the most we can out of everybody's brand, 1 through 9, 1 through 8, 1 through 9, whatever that is. And selfishly, you're going to want to make sure that your kid gets what he needs to get. You're going to want to maximize everything he can give you, whether it's he's going to be a high level college player, or a high level pro, whatever it is he's going to be, whatever it is his talents are going to take him to. We want to be able to maximize that, right? And there's so many things that go into that equation. Parents don't quite understand that. They think it's just like, oh, we're going to go play and my kid's nice. No. You know, I'm on the phone with, like, Paul Biancardi and Eric Bossy and giving you that lane just in case that lane opens up for you, right? Then hopefully you're a kid who will have choice. And by choice, I mean, when you go to college, you want to go to a school where whatever level that is, where you have a chance to play right away. If you're not playing right away, it's tough. It's tough. I'm not saying going against – not you, you know, you fighting and all that. I'm cool. But you do want to, all the things that we're doing are to leverage you to get on the floor as fast as you can. That's the play, right? Unless you're Evan Mobley. Now I'm trying to play you in the league. Like, there's different levels of this, but you have to have these conversations early. Yes. You know what I mean? That kids are special.
And do you have the conversation with these elite kids about leagues like the G League overseas or the overtime elite league as a potential option to continue their basketball playing career?
We're having that. We have a kid named Cole Pete right now who I believe will be number. I believe, in my experience, he's like, Cole's got to get better and he's got to work like everybody else. But I believe has a chance to be one of the top players regardless of class.
Where's he from? Hawaii?
From Arizona.
Arizona. Okay. And you're saying, so what you're saying that he has some opportunities, or you have this conversation with him?
He has an opportunity to be the best player in the country, regardless of class. That's what he is. And he continues to develop at the rate he's been developing. Like, he's going to be a super special player.
Right.
And already having those conversations with his parents.
And what's that? I mean, what's a guy like yourself, what is your sort of advice, or how do you advise parents that are in that position. That's a unique position. You have a league that's paying high school kids $100,000. You got the G League. I don't know what they're
more than that,
depending on who you are. And then you have college for, you know, you can get your education paid for. How do you direct or how do you advise? I'll say advise.
The problem with him is he's on, he just turned 15. He's 14.
Damn.
And we just turned 15.
Dang.
But he's 6'8", 220, athletic as hell. He's like, he's special.
Right.
So
right.
The problem is that obviously when you're that good, everyone's calling them already. Like their people are already like, it's happening. You know what I mean? It's so you got to get ahead of it. There's not, I mean, like all those people that you're talking about, it's business for them. For me, like a glorified hobby that I've been able to do and survive. For them, it's like their job, right? So they're trying to get ahead of this thing. I'm not going to name like all the other people, like the agencies and the money guys and all these type of things. Like all it's already happening. If you don't jump ahead of it, it's like, you know, and NIL has gave those guys the roadway for that to be okay.
And it is fascinating. It's fascinating to see that how the NIL has been working, especially for these big agencies and certain companies that are allowed to have an NIL sort of a wing or section in their agency as the grooming ground, obviously, to try to retain some of the services. So that's fascinating. But Tope, as we're talking about all this stuff, you know, college basketball, I'm thinking back to what, 2019, the college basketball scandal. Do you feel like the fallout from the scandal has changed the way business is operated in college basketball, or is it relatively unaffected despite the 2019 scandal?
I'm bothered by it because, you know, obviously Tony Bland's a friend of mine. Tony Bland's going to coach my team this year.
Oh, the A team?
Yeah. Like for me, it's like you did that. All that happened because they spent so much money on trying to catch somebody. Like they're trying to bait everybody. You know what I mean? And then now it doesn't matter. Like those guys all lost their careers and lives.
Nothing really changed.
Hey, for a year later, it to me, nothing.
That's disgusting.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And I know Book and all the guys who are, it's terrible. Like irregardless of how people look at what happened, it's like them singling out those four black dudes and when, come on, man. Like, just come on. And then now, a year later, everything's legal. Like, you can pay a player.
Yeah, it's almost surreal. No, crazy. It's almost surreal because I had Book on the show, and you know, Book, you know, he's a straight shooter. He was just talking about how he was just trying to, you know, do what he could to take care of the kid. Help. And these are kids that were going without. It's not like these are kids that just had surplus of resources and their daddy played in the league and they got all this type of money.
No, man,
but kids ain't got shit.
And Book's one of us.
Like, he's absolutely. He's a real. Oh, he's a.
What about all these other guys? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
they picked the dudes. It's crazy, man. It's really unfortunate.
It is.
Timing is everything. Really unfortunate. The great thing is Tony's show closes up in a year and a half. Like, you know, Tony will get back in.
Yeah. And he just won the section championship at St. Bernard's, right?
Tony's awesome, man. He's an awesome, awesome dude.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, man, he's going to be a shining star. I don't think it might have been at the time a crutch, but, you know, maybe at, but as he moves forward, it'll be a blessing.
And finally, my man, I just wanted to, I know you got a million things to do. I got you on here a little long, but I wanted to ask you about the NCAA tournament, March Madness, and just get your, you know, I know you got a lot of guys in the tournament, so we won't hold your answer against you. Who you'd like to make it to the Final Four this year? The teams. Who's your Final Four?
Hey, Arizona, Texas. UCLA, Texas, and USC. That's my four. And guess what? I'm going to be the Chris Johnson correspondent.
Hey, we are excited about that. Last year,
locker rooms,
yes, sir.
Dinners,
yes, sir.
baby. Chris Johnson Live, Topi, and Chris Johnson Live.
Can't wait, baby. Hey, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be popping this March. Hey, Tope, thank you so much, my man, for joining the show, bro. Appreciate you. And we're going to get it cracking this March, man, as my correspondent.
I say something, though, for all the Chris Johnson fans.
Please.
Hey, y'all got to give my guy his flowers, Chris Johnson. I'm so proud of this dude and how polished he's become and just his taking this whole platform from really from nothing. I think he was in his apartment, just like pandemic.
Facts.
You know, like talk.
Facts.
And I told Chris, I said, yo, I said, you're like, you got a career. Like, you're good. Like, you need to be on TV or something. I know you used to be on TV. You were on TV. You were doing some.
Yeah, a little bit.
On TV. But I really saw your talent in this, even though I think you just did it because you loved it. And you did it because, you know what, I'm going to do something different and make a difference or whatever. But like, kudos to where you're bringing this thing, man, because I think you got a real big future in this.
I appreciate you, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, Atope Udo Emma.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.